Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show, where we're now in the territory of one episode a day is simply not enough to cover all the news going on around the NBA. Still have a lot of stuff to get into. You saw our previous episode. We discussed the big Kyrie Irving situation that you can find on the previous YouTube video or in your podcast feed if you're listening to the podcast version of this. So make sure that you do go check that out. Today, we've got a lot to still get into, and we're going to kick things off with the Indiana Pacers. So right now, the Pacers are rumored to be looking at Malcolm Brogdon and Miles Turner trades. Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. What do we think Indiana does? I mean, it feels like they've got plenty of options here, a lot of different directions they can go. Malcolm Brogdon, I feel more confident that he's going to be moved. But what about Miles Turner? We've heard different rumors on him, one suggesting that he's going to stay, and now we've had a few here saying that they are engaged in trade conversations with him and he could be on his way out the door.
Yeah, Shams Charania had this in his big piece at The Athletic that had a ton of news packed into it. And then Mark Stein came with a piece over on Substack where he had a little bit more on the Pacers, which kind of confirmed a lot of this. It seems like Indiana, for a long time, seemed like they were going to do the quick retool route of, hey, we're going to, we're going to trade away Sabonis. We're going to get Haliburton in. We're going to flip this quickly and get right back to being a playoff team. Now it seems like maybe they're looking, or maybe we slow it down a little bit and do a little bit more of a rebuild. If they trade both Brogdon and Turner, it's going to have to go that route because you're just, then you're stripping away too much of the like talent that's ready to win at the moment. I do think with Brogdon, I'm with you. Think very likely he gets traded. I've thought that since they acquired Tyrese Haliburton. They're just, you don't need him there as a $20 million third guard with Haliburton and Hield. Turner, though, I thought he might stick. I thought when they traded Sabonis, that might turn into, all right, well, Turner's our guy where we're going to stick with him. But yeah, if they're able to get something good for him, then it makes sense to move on from him as well and go in that different direction and go get somebody. Cause it's, why not? You know, I'm a big fan of retool. What, 6th, 7th, 8th seed. Yeah. You know, you tear it down and you do it right, you might be able to then get back towards the top of the East.
I wonder what they could get in terms of draft picks. If you're willing to move those, like, can you get further up in the first round? Could you get another first round pick? Can you get another pick in the lottery with one or both of these guys? It's going to be interesting to see exactly what they do target here. And I think that's going to speak a lot to what it is that they want to do. Like if you flip Turner and you go get a guy who's ready to win right now, then you're kind of in that quick turnaround time frame. Yeah. If they go for more picks, then we can say, okay, the Pacers are finally committing to building this thing up from the ground. And it's felt like that's what they've needed to do for a while, but I understand the reluctance to do so as well. It's tough for a group to sign off, particularly a smaller market, to say, we're going to commit to really bottoming this thing out. We're going to be okay with our attendance being super low. I mean, it was low last year anyway, but we're going to be okay with losing a lot of games.
Yeah, it is tough, but I think Indiana, right, obviously, they love their basketball there more than most of the country. I think they're also smart enough to if you sell them on it the right way, they're smart enough to see it through and say, all right, yeah, let's go build around these kids. What I wonder is, do you do a Brogdon or Turner or both trades with the idea of picks, then packaging those to try to move yourself up a little bit, up the list and go from there. But yeah, definitely Pacers. I think Mark Stein called them the second busiest team at this point of the offseason behind only the Atlanta Hawks, which I know we're going to talk about them in a minute.
Let's get to it right now.
Let's do it.
The Atlanta Hawks basically talking about trading everybody except for Trae Young, essentially.
Yeah. And DeAndre Hunter, apparently.
That's right. That's right. DeAndre Hunter, of course.
Another episode, which is a little odd.
The Hawks looking at Clint Capella trades, John Collins trades. We've talked about this, that they've been named as a landing spot potentially for Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, trading a Capella makes total sense. You're not going to have both Capella and Rudy Gobert. That's just that's nonsense. But John Collins... I mean, there's these rumors out there about John Collins for the Blazers pick for number 7. We've talked about this. It feels like, and maybe there's more added in, but it just, I don't feel like the Hawks are looking for enough in return for John to the point where if I was an opposing team, I'd be trying to make a John Collins deal if these rumors are correct, because it just feels like they're underselling him right now. Now, again, who knows? Maybe at the end of the day, we find out that it's a Blazers deal and it's number 7. Plus other stuff that makes it totally make sense. But from what we've heard, the offers that they're looking at for John Collins feel a bit light.
Yeah, and Shams mentioned that the Kings have been in on Collins, but that the 4th pick has not been part of those discussions. So that's kind of interesting to think about that. My guess is that then probably involves maybe Harrison Barnes or something. And then, that allows the Hawks to still stay good with a good player, but it clears up your long-term salary obligations quite a bit. Capella was mentioned as being maybe a target for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That one's weird too, because I don't really love Cat at the 4, which you would have to do in that situation. I just think you reduce some of his effectiveness as what he is great at if you're playing him at the 4. So I'm not sure I love that one. Mark Stein mentioned, which I thought was very interesting, that there was the Jeremy Grant chatter earlier that the Hawks might want Jeremy Grant, but now he's saying that seems like that was more driven by the Pistons wanting to acquire the Hawks pick and Bogdan Bogdanovich. We don't know what's going on with Bogdanovich. He just had knee surgery. Everybody's saying that he'll be ready for the start of the season, but that could put a little bit of a damper on his trade prospects if he was going to get dealt. But yeah, I mean, a lot of interesting stuff here with the Hawks, because as we said, if it's not Trae Young or DeAndre Hunter, it seems like those guys' names are being thrown out there, by just about everybody. And let's see. I mean, and Travis Schlink himself said we shouldn't have just run it back last year. We should have done more. So they're going to do something. I think they're going to be super active.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line, the Hawks will do something. They'll probably do multiple things, right? Yep. The Hawks are going to do stuff. What those things are, not clear just yet, but it's very obvious that they don't want to just stick with their current team. And so I think there's going to be some fireworks here coming out of Atlanta at some point. Maybe I'll be able to use our drop for that one. Our breaking news drop, because Atlanta's going to do something.
Man. So you're dying to use
it. I'm just sitting there. It's ready. It's on the side of my screen right now, taunting me. It's just waiting. It's burning a hole in my pocket.
And I just pulled up TweetDeck to see if there was anything, and they're just nothing. Everybody went to lunch, I guess. The NBA world's all getting their lunch here on the East Coast.
That's what it is. All right. Colin Sexton cleared to return.
Yeah, this is great news.
Big time news, and important, not just for the Cavs, but also for Colin Sexton. And we'll see what happens with his market. I think most likely he winds up just staying with the Cavs. That's probably what happens now, even though they were looking at moving him back at the trade deadline. But great that he's cleared to return. That gives him time to really kind of ramp up during the offseason, have a full training camp, enter next season healthy. Important step for him.
Yeah, massive. It's, this is big too for his free agency, just to be cleared ahead of anything. It's not like teams are going to work him out, but just being able to give the medicals and say, I'm fully cleared. I'm ready to go. I'm nothing going on. I'm good. That's big for him. And he's an interesting free agent. He's one to watch because it sounds like anywhere from 15 to 20 to 25 million in that range somewhere for him. I'm very curious to see if one of those cap space teams misses out. If it turns to, or we get a lot of money, let's try to make a run at Colin Sexton and see what we can do as kind of a secondary type target.
So let's move on to our next topic. And I'm looking at my headline for it. I'm realizing that it's a little bit confusing. The Jazz have 15 second interviews.
Well, that's one way to be efficient.
They don't like talking to people for very long.
Yeah. Would you like to coach the Jazz? Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You're hired. Yeah. Done. We finished.
It would have been more if you had done 15 dash second, then yeah. that would have really done it. But yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, this is crazy though. They're reportedly bringing back like 15 people for second interviews on there. We talked about in the first episode today about Kenny Atkinson that now Hornets and Jazz are competing for kind of the same pool of people. But yeah, 15 second interviews. Normally, if you interview 15 people, you're cutting it down. But hey, I guess you know they're being thorough in their process.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If I'm a Jazz fan, I'm looking at this and I'm just saying, great, because it doesn't hurt you to interview all these people. And you want to leave no stone unturned. You don't want to find out, oh, this great candidate was out there, but we just didn't bother to interview him because we only wanted to interview six or seven people or something like that. Right. So it makes sense. It also makes sense from a relationship building perspective. We talked about this in terms of the draft, about bringing in as many players as you can, even if you don't have a pick. Where they're projected to fall, because you want to start to build that relationship a little bit, that may become a factor down the road. Same can hold true for coaches. So I think this makes a ton of sense, even if my headline didn't.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, no, hey, I'm not going to pick on you too much for that. You're the one right now, so you took that work off my plate, so I'll take it.
All right, let's move on. Let's look at the Detroit Pistons. So they are expected to bring back Marvin Bagley. Of course, they made that trade midseason to get him from the Sacramento Kings. So not a surprise that they're looking to bring him back. But what is surprising is that they are pursuing Dennis Schroeder. Ayton, we'll get to him in just a second. But Dennis Schroeder as potentially a cheap option on the point guard market. You know, I don't know what Schroeder's market is really going to look like this summer. Obviously, he didn't have the market that he was hoping for last summer. And then started off the season with Keith's Boston Celtics, then got traded midway through to the Houston Rockets. I don't know what the market's going to look like for him, but do you like the idea of the Pistons going for a veteran guard like Dennis Schroeder, who is pretty much a shoot-first style point guard?
I like the idea of going for a veteran point guard to help them. I do not like the Dennis Schroeder chase. That one... Yeah. I just don't like the idea of him coming in, everything he kind of is on the Pistons with where they're trying to go. I've said this before. If you're a good team that needs some bench scoring, you need your guy who can get you 10 to 15 a night off the bench, Dennis Schroeder's your guy, go get him and off you go. But if you are a young developing team, no, there's better options. I'd rather just put the ball more in Cade Cunningham and Killian Hayes' hands and figure out, even if it's sloppy and messy. Yeah, maybe you win a few less games, but you're going to be better off for it in the long run.
Agreed. I think it's strange. DeAndre Ayton potentially landing in Detroit. They've long been mentioned because they're a cap space team as a team that could go get DeAndre Ayton. If they just said max offer, everything we can, throw in every little wrinkle we can to try to dissuade the Suns. You talk about, as much of the salary as possible up front, things like that. What do you think they could actually get the Suns to blink and not match an offer? Or do you think this is going to have to be a sign and trade?
Yeah, I still can continue to believe it'll be a sign and trade just because I think the Suns are not going to want to lose Ayton for nothing because they can't replace him by any means. But yeah, I mean, if you went full max 4 years and said, you know, hey, match this or let him go, maybe then it could, you know, he could slip away. You know, I don't know. Hey, you can play your breaking news drop.
I just saw it. Here we go.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
There it is. There it is.
I hadn't seen it yet. It's
great. Keith got to experience it with everyone else.
I love it. That is perfect. Hopefully it's the same thing. NBA Summer League schedule?
Yes, the Summer League schedule.
Summer League schedule is out.
Thank goodness. I just got the notification from NBA's media communication. So that's fantastic. The Summer League schedule is out. I'm loading it. I don't know if you have it loaded. Mine's loading right now.
Loaded it up. Very first Summer League game, Houston versus Orlando on Thursday, July 7th at a local time of 7 p.m. Only two games that first night of Summer League.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Houston and Orlando, Portland and Detroit that first night. And then it gets into the full deal.
Second day of action.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, good to have a Summer League schedule out. Game and broadcast
schedule. There it is. All right. Start planning.
Yeah. I mean, I've already booked my trip, so I'm
this
certainly
guy.
I'm ready for it. Oh, it's Lakers Suns Friday night. That's who the Lakers are going to get. We were looking because we were trying to figure out, are the Lakers playing? Because, of course, we were going for, you know, Lakers Nation, all that. Sure. Are the Lakers playing the first night or the second night? And it looks like it is indeed the second night.
And the Celtics and whoever they presumably get with the 53rd pick in the draft will be opening up on Saturday afternoon, it looks like, at 2:30 local time, 5:30 Eastern. So there it is.
It is.
All right. Summer League schedule. Love it.
News.
Oh, man. Trevor, Tuesday, July 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2, Celtics Warriors title rematch.
Oh, boy. the battle in Las Vegas. You know, it's going to. So you're saying we get to see Steph Curry again? Right? Isn't that the way this works?
I would assume. I would assume it'd be all the same guys who just played the other day in game six. I don't know why it wouldn't be. Looks like here's the real actual getting semi-serious for a second.
Yeah.
Everybody's got four games this year. And then the 2-day tournament round. So there's that too, which we have not seen last year. I think it was everybody had three games, then tournament and more. So yeah, but they keep tweaking it every year, trying to get it a little bit better. Because that tournament stuff is, that's kind of.
It gets, by the, especially when teams start resting their main guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, but yeah.
So, all right.
There it is.
There it is. We got to our drop. I love it.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
And, you know, there was actual news, but that second, we got to the drop. That's.
Yeah. The drop was the important thing. I love it.
All right, we've got a couple topics to finish up with today. Memphis attempting to move up in the draft, maybe as high as to number four. Like, do you feel like Memphis needs a big move?
No.
I don't think so either. So that's why this is a little bit surprising to me. I mean, I guess if there's something that's sitting there and isn't too expensive, then okay. But, yeah.
It's just going to cost them too much because the two picks that they have aren't good enough to get them very high in the draft. So that's the problem, right? You're going to have to add in something really good to get up there. And I wouldn't mess around with things too much if I was the Grizzlies. Either re-sign your own free agents, Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones, or, you know, let them go, use the cap space that will create and go get, you know, somebody else by another means. I would not be pushing a move up in the draft.
All right. And last thing that we've got here, Kevon Looney to return to the Warriors. I wouldn't surprise me. He was a pretty good fit there. I thought his passing was actually pretty impressive in his role. What most people look at him as this, you know, big dominant rebounder and all that, but as a ball mover too, thought he fit pretty well. The question is, of course, what is he going to cost and how much are the Warriors willing to pay, particularly when you're so far into the luxury tax? But if you can come to an agreement on a number, I think he's a no-brainer to keep around if you're Golden State. It's just if the number gets, you know, whatever their breaking point is, that would be the only reason for them to say, okay, we're going to move on. Yeah. I thought he was a great fit for them.
Yeah, my prediction is they get something reasonable done with Looney. Then I think they use the taxpayer, if not all of it, but a big chunk of it, to re-sign Gary Payton II. And I think ultimately Otto Porter maybe bounces for a bigger deal somewhere else. I think he might be the guy who gets priced out a little bit there in Golden State. Played on the minimum this past year, but he's not going to do it again. He's too good for that. He got his ring and all that stuff. That's just my guess, you know. But yeah, they'll look mostly similar. Minus they'll lose a couple guys. They'll replace those couple guys with a couple other vets, and you know, they'll be right back at it next year.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Warriors can keep on rolling. All right.
Must be nice.
Well,
we did it.
This should be it for today.
should be.
But you never know. This time of year, it's crazy. Stuff comes out when you're least expecting it. So always possible that we are back again later. But appreciate everybody for joining us. Again, this is the second episode of the day. Thank you, guys. Make sure you are subscribing to the NBA Front Office show. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube as well as over on Apple Podcasts. Leave us that 5-star rating and review. Gosh, this is going to be a busy week, and I'm so excited. I love this time of year in the NBA. This is going to be so much fun over the course of the week. Till next time, everybody. Oh, boy. Get ready. See ya, and stay safe.